Karen Schatzlein had trusted God since her teen years, or so she thought. But when her life journey included a diagnosis none of us wants to receive, he moved her into a new depth of relationship with him. Hear Karen's powerful story after this short break.
This episode is brought to you by the ebook Revelatory Combat by Ryan LaStrange. Revelatory Combat is a concise look into the prophetic ministry and the partnership between prophets and apostles. It provides clarity for the battle facing the church in this hour. Ryan LaStrange and Charisma Magazine are proud to offer you a year-long subscription of Charisma Magazine, as well as a download of Revelatory Combat for only $20. If you'd like to take part in this offer, be sure to visit combat.charismamag.com or call 1-800-749-6500 and mention the word combat.
Welcome to the Hope Through Cancer series on Charisma News. This is Marty Pieper, and I'm so excited to introduce to you today a guest who has a strong personal testimony that makes her a perfect fit. Karen Schatzlein is an international Christian evangelist and author who, with her husband Pat, founded Remnant Ministries International in 1997. I first became aware of God's anointing on Karen's life when I had the opportunity to edit an article based on Karen and Pat's book, Rebuilding the Altar. I scanned thousands of words a day, and I assumed that this would be no different than the rest. But as I read their powerful testimony of the Holy Spirit's work, my spirit bore witness to the truth and anointing of their words. I knew He would use this book and continue to use its authors. The Schatzlein's most recent book, Restore the Roar, will be released through Charisma House this August. Welcome to Hope Through Cancer, Karen.
Thank you so much, Marty. It is such an honor to be on here and just to be able to share the miraculous journey that God took me on the past year and a half, and just to be able to give hope and to share the freedom that God brings to so many people.
Well, I know you will do just that, Karen. Now, your healing testimony began with a very simple question from the Lord. Karen, do you trust me? Could you tell us about that question and how you responded to it?
Absolutely, because, you know, I think the reason God asked me that question is because throughout my whole life, trust was an issue. And, you know, just trusting people, trusting circumstances. And, you know, one day when I was standing at the kitchen sink, just doing normal, we were back from a trip, I had cooked dinner, and I was just standing at the kitchen sink, just praying, not even really anything specific or anything, just standing there, and I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. And the first words that came to me were, "You're about to walk through a difficult and uncertain season." And I would love to say that I immediately trusted that it was the voice of my Father God, you know, the Holy Spirit. But my first reaction was to rebuke it like it was the enemy. And I was like, no, God would never say that to me. And then immediately after I heard the same words, "You're about to walk through a difficult and uncertain season." But what came next was what let me know that it was, in fact, the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I heard the words, "But do you trust me?"
Wow.
And that struck such a chord to me because it was as if God was saying, "Karen, you are about to walk through something. I didn't do it to you. I'm not causing this. You know, a good father doesn't inflict pain on his children. But you're about to walk through something. But do you trust that I've already been where you're going? Do you trust that I've already walked the journey you're about to walk, and I've already secured the freedom on the other side?" And that came to me so quickly, and I stood there for a moment, and tears began to well up in my eyes because I have trust issues. And God, it was as if God was saying, "Do you trust me enough to know that I will get you from point A to point Z? Do you trust me?" Because He didn't ask me about my faith. Because He knew I believed. He knew I knew that He could do it. But He asked me about trust because that's something deeper. Because I realized that faith is a result of my encounter with Him. I had had an encounter with Him. But trust is a result of my relationship with him, that I can take a journey down memory lane. I can look at all the areas of my life, the photo album of my relationship with him, and see where he has never left me, never abandoned me, never walked out on me, never mm-hmm. left me out, you know, hung me out to dry, never walked out on me. So Amen. Whatever was coming down the pike in my life, I could rely on him, fully trust, fully rely, fully depend upon him, surely out of the basis of knowing how he had already been there for me in my life before. So he asked me, do you trust me? And in that moment, with tears running down my eyes, I said, yes, God, I do trust you. Whatever it is, I'm going to trust you and walk with you through this journey.
And at that moment, you had no idea what you were facing, did you?
No, and at that moment, right after that happened, within a short period of time, I had a disc rupture in my neck for the second time. And I thought that's what it was about, because I had to go in and have surgery because it was causing shooting electrical pain down my arm.
Ouch.
And I thought, well, that's what it was about. You know, mm-hmm. I can handle that. You know, I'm just okay. You know, I've had this surgery before. I'll be fine. But that wasn't it, because we moved shortly after that from Alabama to Texas. Mm-hmm. And that's when I found out what was coming down the pike for me, because I went to the doctor, because after we had moved, I started developing all kinds of symptoms. I was having headaches. I was tired all the time. I'm a very go-get-em, wake-up running kind of person. And so for me to be exhausted all the time, I thought something's not right. Maybe I'm vitamin deficient. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm, you know, just going too hard. I was tired. My bones were hurting. I had inflammation really bad. I mean, there were just so many symptoms mm-hmm. that I knew that something wasn't right. And so I began to go to the doctors, one doctor after another. One doctor would refer me to another specialist. That specialist would refer me to another one. So I finally ended up at a rheumatologist, and they were thinking that maybe I had lupus, maybe even Lyme disease, or, you know, something. They were just grasping for straws, and every test came back negative.
Wow.
And so until the very last test they took, and the rheumatologist looked at me in the room, and she said, you know, all of these other tests are negative, but there is one test that came back abnormal. There is an issue with your blood. And I looked at her and I was like, what does that even mean? And she said, well, I'm going to refer you to another doctor. And the moment she told me what doctor she was referring to me, she said, I'm going to refer you to a hematologist oncologist. And, you know, the moment you hear that word oncologist, you just know that you just know what you're looking at. And
exactly.
I sat there in that chair just stunned for a few moments, kind of taken aback. I was there by myself. It was just a routine visit, so no one went with me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, how did it get to this point? How, I mean, I came in thinking maybe, you know, this or that. And
right.
Then she's telling me she's sending me to an oncologist. And all of a sudden, as I'm sitting there, immediately the Holy Spirit took me back to that kitchen sink experience.
Mm.
And I heard in my spirit, but do you trust me?
Do you trust me? I'm hearing it as I hear you say it.
I knew that this was the moment that I had been prepared for back at that kitchen sink. And I looked at her and I said, okay, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
I said, refer me to the doctor. I'm ready for this. And that's when she referred me, and I went to the oncologist, and they actually confirmed that it was a rare form of leukemia that I was looking at.
Now, when they gave you that diagnosis, you asked that from then on they not use words that referred directly to that. You didn't want to hear that leukemia word. You didn't want to hear that other word. Help us understand more about the power of words and why you would make that's kind of an unusual request, Karen. I don't imagine very many of their patients say that, but you had some very specific reasons for what you asked.
You know, I did, and I'm a little bit of a stubborn person, so the doctor really didn't have a chance, I don't think, when I came into the office. But when he said to me what the blood work meant, because I'm a very detailed person. I want to know. I want to know everything. I want to know exactly what I'm facing, exactly what I'm looking at, exactly what I can expect down the road. So after I let him tell me all of that, I looked at him, and now I can be so bold about it. In that moment, though, there was so many emotions running through my head in that moment. But I cannot get away from the fact that in that moment, all I kept hearing literally every few seconds was, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? And so in that moment, after he finished telling me everything, I simply looked at him and said, I understand what you're telling me. Mm-hmm. I understand what the diagnosis is. I understand what you see in the natural on the paperwork from my blood work. I said, but I'm going to ask a request. I said, I'm not in denial. I'm not crazy. I'm not, you know, just psychotic. I said, but I am rejecting what you're telling me. I said, I know that it is not meant for me. I said, I understand fully that this is the reality of what shows up in my blood, but I have to reject it in order to get through it. And I said, and here's what I'm asking in return. I said, when I come in for my blood work, when I come in for my testing, I'm asking that you not call it leukemia or cancer. And he looked at me really funny, you know, and I said, and here's why. I said, I look at it like this. I said, if my children bring home a stray dog, I said, I'm not going to give it a name. I said, because everybody knows if you name it, you're keeping it. I said, it becomes a part of the family. It becomes a part of the scenery. It becomes a part of the atmosphere in your home. I said, I can't give this a name. I said, because I'm not keeping it. I said, I can't accept it and keep it in my life. And he looked at me, and he was so kind, such an amazing doctor. And he said, okay, I will do that. And so every time I came into the doctor's office, he would look at me and he'd say, you know what you're here for. And I'd say, I do, but I'm not keeping it. And he would just smile at me and go on through the testing. And so it became just a part of the atmosphere of my appointments with him. And I think he became curious as to watch how this would play out, because I knew I was living in reality. I knew what the doctor's report said, but I was living, seeing those things that are not as though they were. I saw in reality there was a cancer diagnosis. I carry one of the rarest mutated cancer genes that there are. And I know it's a series of numbers and letters. I can't even say it. And so, but
I wouldn't know it if you did.
Yes. And so, and he would tell me, and he would monitor it, and he would want to do a bone marrow biopsy. Every time I went in, he would mention a bone marrow biopsy. And I would say to him, I'd say, I know we need to do it, but can we wait one more month? Because I need to believe that this does not belong to me. And he would agree each time. It was just a miracle that he would agree to go along with what I was saying. But I knew that there is such power in the word. You know, speaking, the Bible tells us that life and death is in the tongue.
Yes.
That what we speak goes into the atmosphere. And it because what I learned this whole last year was, because fear tried to overtake me. This was a matter of fear in my life. Fear of what would happen if something happened to me, to my husband, to my children, to my grandchildren, that I had a race still that I needed to run. And what would this do to that picture? And so I had to believe, and the Bible says that what we speak, you know, and fear tried to overtake me. And God showed me right during that time that fear is just a learned or perceived aberration or hallucination that becomes and grows into an absolute in our life. And so by rejecting that diagnosis in my spirit, I was refusing to allow it to become an absolute that would become attached to my life and to my spirit.
Now, Karen, I'm curious, is this something you had determined ahead of time? If he says this, I'm going to say that? Or is this just what the Holy Spirit downloaded to you as you sat there?
I think it was more as the Holy Spirit was downloading to me, mm-hmm. because I think when I had that kitchen sink experience where the Holy Spirit prepared me for what was coming around the corner, I think I began unknowingly, you know, kind of subconsciously, sure. beginning to dig into the scripture and try to, because God had said, you know, you're going to walk through something, but do you trust me? Which means I've already prepared the way for you. So if he's already prepared a way for me, it just made sense to me that I needed to find out how to get through it. Okay. And so I think I began to prepare my spirit, begin to dig into the word. I didn't know what to dig into, really, to find that, but I just wanted to know how to persevere, how to overcome, how to stand above, how to seek life to whatever was coming that was going to be difficult and uncertain in my life. I wanted to know how to combat that with scripture. And so I think when I got the diagnosis and was sitting there face to face with what I had been warned or prepared for so many months prior, mm-hmm. I think everything that I had delved into and studied and prayed through just began to pour out of my spirit. So I think that's why it's so important in our lives, not just in the difficult times, but in the good times when things are going good, to always be studying, always be in prayer, always be just seeking the presence of God during those times, so that when your cup gets bumped, so when the hard times come, the dark times come, because they will come. God never said that in this life you won't have to go through anything. He said in this life you'll have many sorrows, but yes. take heart. I have overcome the world. And so if he's overcome it, that means that with him we can overcome it as well. And so in those good times, we have to prepare ourselves so that when the bad times do come, when the enemy does attack, then what's inside of us will flow out and bring life to not only us, but everyone else around us.
Exactly. Well, it reminds me of what you said earlier about trust, that trust comes through your relationship. You have that strong, deep relationship with God, and that's what flowed out of you as you started walking down this, what most people would see as a very frightening journey.
Yes, absolutely. And it was frightening, you know. But, you know, I think what we have to understand sometimes is fear is not the absence of courage, because fear is actually the embryo of courage. It's courage waiting to be awakened, because without fear, we would have no need for courage. And so what the enemy, I think if we understand that the enemy, he will bring things into our life, not God. We don't blame God for that. The enemy is real, and he will bring things into our life. But the things he brings into our life can actually be our greatest weapon to defeat him. Because I think I look back at that, and I believe you and I have talked about this, that, you know, walking through that and now on the other side in mm-hmm. victory, I don't know why God healed me. And he doesn't heal everyone, or everyone doesn't receive healing. But what I determined was, in the midst of that, in the journey, I didn't walk through it for nothing. I didn't walk through it for no reason. I walked through it because there is a purpose that needs to be done in the midst of that. And so I actually, right when I found out the diagnosis, I was about to turn 49. And I was about to have a birthday, and Pat mm-hmm. kept asking me, what do you want for your birthday? I had just found out that I have this. And mm-hmm. I said, you know, I have everything I could ever want. I have an amazing husband. I have amazing children. I have this life that we get to live to share the love of God with everyone we come in contact with. Yes. And I said, I can't think of anything that I would want. I am so fulfilled in my life, even in the midst of this cancer diagnosis, because God has given me, you know, an amazing family. And I said, the only thing I can think of that I would want for my birthday was to be able to kick the devil in the face. I said, if I could do that, that would be the greatest thing ever. And all of a sudden, God began to speak to Pat and I that a way that we could do that, a way that we could actually, that birthday wish could actually come to pass. And through that, he began to birth inside of me to do a biweekly Facebook Live called The Breathing Room. And the reason I called it The Breathing Room was because Job 33:4, in the midst of all my study, in the midst of all of the things God was showing me, he took me to the scripture, Job 33:4, that says, the Spirit of God has made me, but the breath of the Almighty gives me life. So in the midst of what I was walking through, yeah, I had been made. The Spirit of God has made me, but I don't want to merely survive. I don't want to merely just exist. And if the Bible tells me that the breath of God is what gives me life, then I'm going to create a space. I'm going to create an atmosphere for in order for the breath of God to flow in our home. And so I created the breathing room, that Facebook Live, so that in the midst of what I was walking through, I was going to speak life. I was going to speak hope. I was going to speak overcoming, how to overcome the obstacles in your life. And I started it on my birthday, on my 49th birthday, in defiance to the enemy. And every episode that I do is about overcoming. It's about not being a victim, about not laying down in the midst of the battle.
And we've featured some of that, some of those on Spirit Led Woman, on Charisma Magazine online, haven't we? Some of those episodes of The Breathing Room.
Yes, and I'm so grateful that they have chosen to put those out there, and I'm so thankful for that.
Karen, I know you mentioned your healing, and we kind of left you at the doctor and with the diagnosis, and now we're kicking the devil in the face, but would you tell me more about your journey of faith, your journey of healing? I think people want to hear more of the rest of the story from you.
Absolutely, because, you know, it's when people tell about their healing sometimes, I think sometimes it can sound kind of romanticized and, you know, this very wonderful experience. But the truth is, in the midst of the journey, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of disappointments. There's a lot of emotions that rise up. There's doubt that tries to sink in. There's fear that tries to overtake you at different times. And there were times during that journey that I would wake up in the morning, and to be honest, I didn't feel like getting out of bed, that I didn't feel well. I felt nauseous. My body hurt. My head hurt. You know, I would feel like I had been hit by a truck. And I remember one particular morning, the message that I was going to be doing, it was a Tuesday morning, and I was doing the breathing room, and it was all about don't give up, get going. And I didn't want to get up and get going. So I would look in the mirror, and, you know, God began to deal with me about courage. And I would have to stand in the mirror and say, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, when Peter stepped out on the water and Jesus called him out, there was a, you know, a storm, and they woke up, and they had went in the boat to the other side, and Jesus decided to walk on the water to get back to them. And they woke up and they saw what they thought was a ghost walking on the water. And they cried out, you know, it's a ghost. And Peter, bold, says to Jesus, if it's really you, call me out on the water. And what Jesus did was so amazing. He didn't hesitate. He simply said, well, come on. You know, so many times we want God to do something in our lives, but we really don't expect him to do it, you know, or to do it so quickly. And he said, well, come on. And Peter steps out on the water in boldness, in power, so full of courage. But when he gets out on the water and the waves start raging all around him, what did he do? He took his eyes off of Jesus, and he put his eyes on the raging waves. And when he did that, he began to sink. And he reached out to Jesus, and he said, Jesus, you know, save me. And Jesus didn't hesitate, but when he reached down to save Peter, he reached down, and in the Message Bible, I love what it says, he looks at him, and he said, faint heart. What got into you? And there's moments when we walk through issues and seasons in our life of pain and hurt and distress that our heart becomes faint.
For sure.
And we step out so boldly, but the hits that we take over time begins to wear on us, and our heart begins to grow faint. And he says, faint heart, what got into you? Don't you remember you were just with me on the shore seeing the miracles?
Right.
Don't you remember? We walked together. We've been through some stuff together. Keep your eyes on me. Take your eyes off the circumstances. Take your eyes off of what you see in the natural. Take your eyes off of the raging storm that's all around you. Mm-hmm. And just look at me. And that's what God had to do to me. And he looked and he said to the disciples when they cried out, "It's a ghost," he literally says, "Courage, it's me. Don't be afraid." It's as if he was reminding them of who they should be. There mm-hmm. is courage in you.
Mm-hmm.
There is strength in you. There is an overcoming spirit inside of you. And there were mornings where I would get up and I didn't feel like worshiping. I didn't feel like praising. And I would go and I would stand in the mirror and I'd look at myself and I'd say, "Courage
wow.
is inside of you."
Mm-hmm.
He placed courage inside of you. You can do this. You can get through this. You can be there for other people in the midst of your pain. And I went and I did that breathing room that morning, and it was so powerful and everything. And by the time I was done with it, there was something fresh, something new, something powerful that was in my spirit to say, this is not taking me out. This is not going to take me out. And I remember reading Psalm 5, and it says, "Every morning you'll hear me at it again. Every morning I'll lay the pieces of my life on the altar. And I'll wait for the fire to descend." And so what I realized is in the midst of this journey, it was going to take laying myself on the altar every morning, because there were some pieces of me that were broken. There
wow.
were some pieces of me that were not in place. There was a cancer that was trying to invade my body. That's
mm-hmm.
broken. And
yes.
every morning I was determined that those broken pieces were going to find their way to the altar. We have an altar in our bedroom from when we wrote
yes.
Rebuilding the Altar. And we laid every diagnosis that we would get. Every single time that doctor would hand us the sheet of paper that said that diagnosis on it, we would take it home and we would go to our bedroom and we would lay that piece of paper on the
wow.
altar. Now, the altar is not something so, you know, mystical and unknown.
Right.
The altar is just a place where you have been gets interrupted where we're with what you can become. And so we decided, you know, the altar is just a piece of wood. It's a reference point for us. And so
mm-hmm.
we have to continually go back to that place. And so we would lay that diagnosis on the altar, and I would say, "This is what's broken. This is the pieces of my life,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to stay here until the fire comes down and burns it up." Because when God's fire burns the pieces of our life back together, it creates the most beautiful mosaic that can ever be, so that we can be a testimony of his glory and his power and his might. And
Amen.
That's what I would do to become who God was creating me to be. And I decided that whatever came, whatever his will for my life was, I was going to believe regardless of what everyone around me said. And we refused to allow anyone to speak anything that was contrary to the word of God, and to speak anything that would bring doubt or fear into our lives. And because Isaiah 26:3 says, "He will give perfect peace to those whose minds
are stayed on him. Amen.
And we were determined our minds were going to stay on him through that entire journey.
Well, I think that provides wonderful encouragement for other people who might be in a similar situation. Is there a specific word you would give to someone else who finds themselves maybe they're in that waiting room or they're in that examining room and the doctor's telling them words such as he spoke to you? What would you say to that person to help them?
I would say to them, don't be overtaken by what you see in the natural.
Mm.
Keep believing. Keep receiving the joy that God wants to fill you with. But more than anything, stay in his presence, because in his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence, there is freedom. In his presence, there is wholeness. In his presence, there is everything you need or desire, you know, and in his presence is where he'll begin to speak to you. So many times we allow the chaos of our lives mm-hmm. to blind us and to cause us to have muffled ears to what he's trying to say to us. And in the midst of that journey, is where I began to hear him speak so vividly when he told me 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I began to study that, what that meant, because he didn't give me fear. Mm-hmm. This was fear. This was an aberration. You know, fear is just a learned or perceived aberration. This mm-hmm. is, I want to be able to determine what is real and what is of the enemy, what is a lie of the enemy. So I began to study that, because if he didn't give me fear, then what did he give me? And the Bible tells us he didn't give us fear, but he gave us three weapons. Three weapons. Fear is a weapon the enemy uses, but God gives us weapons of power, a weapon of love, and a weapon of a sound mind to defeat fear. Because power, of course, we know, you know, everybody studies this and says dunamis means dynamite.
Right.
But it also means, that word power actually means the ability to change or influence the course of events.
Wow.
And so I have the ability to change the course of events that the enemy has set down a path for me.
Because you have his power. Yeah.
Because of the power in Christ who lives inside of me. So in mm-hmm. reality, it means I can change the atmosphere when I invite Jesus into my situation. I can change the atmosphere. So every time I was going into that doctor's office, every time I was rejecting that diagnosis, every time I was laying it on the altar and waiting for the fire, I was changing the atmosphere through the power of Christ.
I love that.
And then
that.
The weapon of love. Mm-hmm. Perfect love casts out fear, 1 John 4:8 tells us. Well, why does it cast out fear? Because the Bible also tells us that God is love. So if God is love, it's him that casts out fear. That's why it tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 that love is patient. It's the only word in the Bible that has an actual definition for it in the Bible. Love is patient, kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud or self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It rejoices in the truth. But this is the part that got me. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. And it always perseveres. So not only can I change the atmosphere, I can always be patient and waiting for his promises. I don't have to envy those who aren't walking through what I'm going through. I don't have to be proud. I don't have to get angry. I can rejoice in God's truth, and I can always know that I am protected because I can trust him and hope and never give up. So that's a weapon. And so he also gives us a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I needed the most. Was a sound mind in the midst of everything that was going on. And that word comes from a word, sophroneo. And if you break down that word through a word study, it literally means a mind that is delivered, rescued, revived, salvaged, protected, brought to a place of safety and security where it is no longer affected by illogical, unfounded, and absurd thoughts. And
wow.
That's what the enemy was trying to attack me with.
Mm-hmm.
So with the power, love, and a sound mind, I can totally defeat the enemy's fear that he's bringing into my life through Jesus Christ that gives me the power, love, and a sound mind. That's why 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us that we can cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing them into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so what I would tell for those who are walking through it, I would say, it's real. What you're walking through is real.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. It's okay to be walking through something and to allow yourself to rest. Allow yourself to rest, but when you rest, rest in the Spirit of God and find your hope in him. Find your purpose in him. Find your freedom, find your courage, find that in him, because he will never leave you, never forsake you, never walk out on you, never abandon you. You can pull out the memory book of who he is and trust that he will do exactly what he said he will do. And when you do that, Psalm 91 tells us that those who live in the shelter of the Most High can reside in the shadow of the Almighty. And when
Amen.
You realize that the darkness all around you just might be the shadow of his presence protecting you from what's outside.
That is a
and
beautiful
And when you realize
picture.
That, you can literally rest in assurance that he will be with you and see you through to the victory.
Well, Karen, I think when you made that commitment to the Lord about sharing your story and ministering to others, he's fulfilling that even through this podcast. You have a powerful testimony, and I'm so honored that you would choose to share it with us today. I have one more request. We love it if our guests will pray for our listeners before they go, and especially on this series, I want to make sure that we do that. Would you do us the honor of praying for our listeners before we close today, please?
Absolutely. Father, we just come to you today. We come to you as every person that is listening to this podcast, every person that is tuning in, that is listening, that might be walking through a journey that is difficult and uncertain.
Yes.
Lord, I pray right now that you will bring peace into their life, that you will fill wherever they're at, if they're in the break room, if they're in the office, if they're in car line waiting for their children, wherever they're at. On a construction site, no matter what they're facing or where they're at, that you would reach in just like Jesus did to Peter. And you'll reach down and say, "Faint heart, what got into you?" And let them see that you never hesitate. You're always there to reach in, to pull them out of the darkness. Just like in creation, when you reached out and you said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In the midst of our darkness, wherever, whatever they're going through, in the midst of their darkness, if they will look up and to look to your face, you can speak light in the midst of their darkness. And in their chaos, light can burst forth out of the abyss of darkness. And they can be a beacon of hope and light to those around them. Don't let fear overtake them. Don't let the lies of the enemy overtake them. Let them be able to tap into that power to change the atmosphere. Your love that always hopes, always protects, always perseveres, always trusts. And that sound mind to know the difference between faith and what the enemy is trying to bring into their life. The difference between faith and trust. Let them realize they can not only encounter you, but they can walk with you in a relationship.
Amen.
That will lead them to freedom. But Lord, more than anything, I pray that you wrap your arms around them, that you take them by the hand, and you say, "Let's walk this journey together. Let's reach the goal together." And as we walk, the Bible says, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I pray that as they walk through the valley of darkness, that not only will they keep walking until they see the light, but they will grab as many hands of those who are struggling in the darkness and take them with them to find the light. I just pray for healing for them. Anyone with cancer, with any kind of bone marrow disease, any kind of infirmity that the enemy might be coming against them, I pray for supernatural healing to take place in their life. That as they are listening to this podcast, that your healing oil will begin to flow from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. That every cancer gene, every mutated gene, everything that is in their body that does not align with perfect will of how our bodies are designed to operate will be cast out in the name of Jesus. Spirit infirmity must be gone in Jesus' name, and healing take over. Wholeness and fullness, not just healing, but restoration of health, that they will be brought back into a place of safety and security and wholeness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you so much, Karen. And listeners, you have been blessed to hear an interview with Karen Schatzlein today on our Hope Through Cancer series on Charisma News. Thank you, and we hope you'll come back for more challenging, inspiring, and hope-filled interviews.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.